next on The Balanced Word.
You can live smarter by reading His Word and putting it into practice, changing what you do. It's the only way to arm yourself against being a victim of every force and every power and everything and every person that's out there who just wants to wreck your life. God's Word will help you if you really take it to heart.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Temptation is all around us, from the coworkers around you telling dirty jokes, or the ads on TV encouraging you to buy something you don't need. But we don't have to cave into it if we'll apply what we learn from The Balanced Word. Today on The Balanced Word, Dave Rolf visits the Proverbs once again, helping us understand how temptation works and why we feel the way we do. We'll then see what can happen if we resist it. We'll be in chapter 7 for the most part.
Now, if you think of the devil as a guy in a red suit with a pitchfork and, you know, a pointy tail, I don't believe in that devil. But maybe you just think, I don't think there's a personal devil at all. That's okay. You can think that. I just want to tell you, for clarity's sake, I do believe in a personal devil. I believe he was someone who, the Bible tells us, was a beautiful creature that did a lot of good until he decided he wanted to be equal with God. As a result, he fell, and he's been lying to people and trying to destroy people ever since. Now, again, if you're all sophisticated and you're like, how can you believe something like that? I'll tell you why. Because I have seen people who are so evil that I could not explain them any other way than this simple, you know, explanation that the Bible gives us. You take a person like Adolf Hitler. I cannot, you know, if an evil person has to be influenced by someone more evil than them, which would be kind of rationally true, who in the world could talk somebody into doing what he did? And not only that, would be able to brainwash thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people to go along with it. See, to believe that that just happened is just something I can't swallow. To believe that that's something that was intentionally performed by an evil person is easier for me to believe. Now, all of these get jumbled up together, too, because certainly, you know, the Bible tells us that the devil is active, that he has other fallen angels that are with him and doing crazy, dastardly things in people's lives. So you go, okay, wait, which one am I going to defend myself against? They all really work well together, truth be told. They're, you know, the temptation from your flesh, certainly the devil is someone who wants to destroy you, and so you can see him getting involved in that. The worldly system, the Bible says that this world, the prince of the power of the air, is somebody who's ruling, so this evil being that we call Satan or the devil, the tempter, he is somebody who is actually influencing the world. And honestly, how can you explain the deterioration of society at the rate at which it's happening in any other way? It's when I look at the last 10 years and I see what's happened, and there are some ways in which the world is way better, but man, there's stuff that I'm just going, who in the world would have thought that this could even happen? Well, it could be that there's a plan. It could be that there are things going on in society and culture that are very deliberate. And that makes more sense to me than the idea that, yeah, it's funny how sometimes things get better, sometimes they get worse, too bad. There's something going on. And if we don't protect ourselves, if we don't protect ourselves from these forces that are trying to rip us off, if there is, in fact, a body that's fighting against you, a cultural system that wants to destroy you, and a devil who has it out to lie to you and ruin your life, don't you think it would be good to have a plan to combat against that, even if it might be true? I mean, many of us have burglar alarms on our houses, and we don't know that somebody specifically wants to rob our house, but even if there's a suspicion, we're like, yeah, it wouldn't hurt to at least put a burglar alarm sign in your front yard. Might scare people away a little bit. We lock our cars usually, unless it's like your car's really a mess and you're hoping someone will steal it and you can get insurance. But if the Bible tells us that there are forces that are trying to destroy us, doesn't it make sense for us to at least defend ourselves? Understand the tactics and have a plan of our own. This guy didn't. And as a result, it destroyed him. And it says there in the end of the chapter that there are many people who have been destroyed like that. Well, as we look at it, there are some insights that we can get. You know, I think, why did this guy even go there? What's he doing? Well, you see he's alone. You see it's dark. People can't really see him. You see that this woman is like, you know, actually giving spiritual talk. She's like, hey, I just went and paid my vows. Praise the Lord. You know, let's get together. And she has a plan, and he's like innocently going through it. There are times when you are more vulnerable than other times. And some of the situations that were going on in his life can be some of the same times that we are vulnerable. For instance, nothing really good happens late at night, generally. I mean, so it's dark and nobody can see what you're doing. You're alone. Maybe you're feeling kind of lonely. Maybe you're bummed that you're by yourself. It's an opportunity that just happens to be there when there you are, alone, tired, kind of depressed. Not only that, sometimes when you're hungry, it makes you vulnerable. There are other times when you are bored. Just by living too boring of a life sets you up for, in this case, the woman who's kind of rowdy and she's not doing what people expect her to do. And she's like, you know, the Beach Boys said, I get around, around, get around, I get around. There, one time, one of my kids asked the Sunday school teacher if she knew that song to sing for worship. But it was, you know, what happens when you are lonely? When you are tired, when you are hungry, when you are depressed, when you are bored, you got a big target on your back. And these are times when we need to be more aware, for one thing, not to put ourselves in a situation like this guy did. Now, the enemy, and all temptation really, zeroes in when we are vulnerable, but also he attacks those who are strong. Notice there, when it was describing all the people who got ruined, it says that in verse 26, she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong. It's true, certainly, that our weaknesses are things that we should shore up because they're easy targets. But I think when it comes to this kind of temptation, it's the area where we perceive that we are the strongest where sometimes it's the greatest vulnerability because the enemy can do the greatest amount of damage. You may think, there's no way I'm ever going to do that. But you get in the right circumstance. You get away. You're out of town. There's nobody around. There's no accountability. There's no way you're going to get caught. It looks like it was, well, it almost looks like God created this opportunity for you. And the thing about temptation, it is always affecting the strong. Now, you might go, oh, come on, I know people who just totally give in all the time. Well, temptation is only something that lures you in. The horrible thing about temptation is it sets you on a course whereby this first time that you were suckered is one thing. But eventually, you just do it yourself. Somebody who, like, gets drunk every night, they don't need that temptation. They don't need to see an ad for it. They don't need to have somebody suggest, hey, come on over here. They don't. No, it's like getting drunk every night is just what I do at some point. You become that. At that point, the devil's not interested in making you drink. You're already doing it. You're an addict. You've become stuck. Any more than, you know, here, a kind of an innocent guy, heading out and getting roped in by this woman, that's different than a guy who's out every night trolling, who's skirt chasing in the bars. You don't need temptation for people once they decide, this is my identity, this is just who I am. That's the ultimate danger of temptation, is it shatters your concept of who you really are, and it turns you into something completely different than what you ever thought you would become. And that's why, I mean, he's in a situation, there's this woman, it's perfectly safe. She's being very upfront about what she wants. Nobody else is around. Her husband's out of town. She's really gone to a lot of work for this, and you just don't want to disappoint a woman because then she'll really turn on you. And it's like, hey, one night stand. It sounds so innocent. And that's the way it is with everything. It's just this one purchase to put myself into debt. It's this one meal that really isn't good for me and I really shouldn't do it. It's this one relationship that's kind of, you know, it's a bad influence, but hey, it's my friend, you know, that's what I'm gonna do. Wherever our vulnerabilities are, in a strength we think once won't hurt us, eventually, by compromising our principles, by deciding that I'm not gonna be who I am all the time, this is generally who I am. What happens ultimately is, after a few temptations, you don't even need the temptation anymore. Anything makes you, you know, reminds you that, oh boy, could I use this? Boy, would I want that. No one ever decides in their life, you know, I think it would be really cool to get addicted to drugs. And I'm weighing them all out, and well, you got cocaine here. Man, heroin's good, and it's getting cheaper all the time, and I have a good source for it. And yeah, I think what I will do is ruin my life with crystal meth. Nobody does that. It's always just try it just once. Hey, it's not gonna hurt you. Nobody ever died from doing it once, right? And then you just get pulled into where all of a sudden you're going, well, I'm never that person. I remember talking to somebody who said, you know, I said I'll do drugs, but I'm not going to do hard drugs. And then smoke a pot for a while, and then it's like, well, I'll try some heroin, but I'm not going to slam it. I'm not going to inject it in my veins. You know, I'll just snort it. And gradually, you end up becoming the addict that you thought you never would. That's how people, you know, get into consumer debt as well. It's late at night. You're bored. You can't get to sleep. You turn on the TV. You know what's on TV, like on 300 channels in the middle of the night? Home shopping networks. It's like, I'll just watch. I'll see what kind of stupid people think stupid people are buying stupid things tonight. And you're looking at it, and there's something that they're selling that you've never wanted in your life. You've never even thought, wow, it would be cool to have something that's a bottle opener and a cat toy. And you're just... But the clock is ticking down. This might be a one-time opportunity. I think they're closing this product out. And it's like the girl from Shark Tank, Lori Grenier, it's... And you just, boom. And you buy it. He didn't plan on doing that. I've known people whose houses are full of junk that they bought on QVC. Had they not been bored, lonely, tired, hungry, everything, who knows what they would have done. But eventually, you will become somebody that you never thought you'd become. And where it starts is with temptation. Is because you don't plan to avoid those things. You don't even develop the ability to say, I am not going to do anything right now. Just a simple tactic like that. Now you don't do it because our body is saying, do it now. You know, it's so cool now you can buy something. It used to be, you don't buy anything online because it takes you like a month before you get it, and then you know you don't want it. Now they'll have it, you know, you click and they're knocking on your door with it. Temptation is what starts the path to addiction. Addiction is what robs you of your life. And we see here this addictive nature, this destructive thing that, as he describes it, her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. They were cast down as wounded. People are destroyed. And it always starts with temptation. Now, here's the thing. You might be here and go, you're preaching to the choir. I know how temptation can destroy your life because it has destroyed mine. I am trapped. I am stuck. I have wrecked my life. Boy, I wish I had heard this and listened to it years ago before I made that first fateful step toward what ended up ruining my life, before I just took that one opportunity and it grew and it expanded, and now I look at my life and it's like it'll never be the same. If that's what you feel, you're totally playing into this liar that has wanted to destroy you from the word go, that saw you when you were a little kid with all that potential and said, I have a plan for your life. Well, the great thing, according to the Bible, is you can always start over. You can always start fresh. The Bible teaches us that because Jesus died for us and he offers us salvation and a fresh start, forgiveness, the only reason you need to stay in the pit, the only reason you need to live like hell, is because you think it's irreversible. But everything that the Bible tells us is very clear. No, it's not irreversible. You can start fresh. The ultimate result of the lies is to keep you stuck, because once you fell, then you thought, that's just it. And you go right back to whatever behavior got you there in the first place. The Bible gives us hope and tells us there are better things than that. Well, how do you do that? We'll turn back to the beginning of chapter 7. I didn't read the first 5 verses. Let's look at these. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you're my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Interesting imagery where, on the one hand, temptation is seen in the image of this sleazy woman, and on the other hand, righteousness and wisdom are seen as a godly woman who you would value as your sister. And what Solomon points out is what you have to do to be prepared for the onslaught is to be in the Word of God. Listen to what he has to say. Not just coming and hearing a little bit of it and going, okay, that's enough for 1 week. But to actually meditate on God's Word, to let it sink into your life, and to actually make your life choices based on what God is teaching you from his Word. Solomon's dad wrote, you know, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Wherewithal, how shall a young person cleanse their way? By taking heed according to thy word. Being immersed in the truth of God's word is something that will make you more immune to the enticements of every kind of temptation. See, if what you're doing is tempted to just eat yourself into oblivion or into significance, there's plenty of stuff in the Bible that would tell you about that and how it goes. If it's going out and going after wrong relationships, the Bible has a lot to say about that. If it's trying to buy enough stuff that you'll think you matter, the Bible talks a lot about that and gives us the beginning so we understand it, leads us to why we feel the way we do and what'll happen if you resist. The Word of God is so important. It's one of the reasons why, and it's why we call this series on Proverbs Smarter Living. You can live smarter by reading his Word and putting it into practice, changing what you do. It's the only way to arm yourself against being a victim of every force and every power and everything and every person that's out there who just wants to wreck your life. God's word will help you if you really take it to heart, if you really put it into practice, not in some legalistic, weird sort of way where every time you read a verse, it gives you something else to go beat somebody else over the head with. But when you start reading the Bible and you realize all of this is going to help me do life better, when you do that, it actually comes to pass. And putting the word of God into your life is the best way for you to salvage everything you've lost up to this point. Oh, you can look back and think of those times when you were first tempted to do something that ended up being a really bad thing in your life. But you can make today the day when you decided, that's not going to control me anymore. I'm not going to have my identity formed by something that I've done in the past, because God looks at me and he says, if I've put my faith in Jesus, I start fresh every day. He forgives me. He doesn't even remember what happened before, where the world and the flesh and the devil are telling me, you're just this. You're a piece of garbage. And God is saying, you're not. You're precious to me. You are someone I died for. You are someone that I have forgiven. You start fresh right now. Who do you want to be? I will help you to become that. But you're going to have to get a plan together, and his word will show you how to strategize against the ones who want to ruin your life. Maybe they've ruined your life already. It's never too late to start fresh, to be forgiven.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information, or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Wrapping things up in prayer now, Pastor Dave once again.
Lord, thank you for loving us when we're pretty unlovely. We see ourselves the way we are, and it's kind of disgusting, and most people agree with us, but you know who we were before we were even born. You loved us like a parent loving a child. And your vision for us was always for us to fully develop into that person that you saw from the beginning. A person that knows who they are, who's secure in who they are, who's enjoying life with a healthy balance to it. Lord, lead us to your forgiveness when we've messed up, to your word when we want to really learn how to do life right, and help us to be especially alert to know that when we are tired and hungry and bored and depressed, that's the time we need to have our guard up, because that's when the enemy knows he can break us. Teach us to defend ourselves with those things that you give us in your word. And thank you for keeping the perfect plan for us in your mind, even when it begins to fade in ours. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And God, if there's people here today who've never even received your forgiveness, And they look at this and go, hey, you're just describing my life, but I don't even care. Help them to know it can be better than this. They were made, they were created for something better than just trying to survive life, get enough stuff, pass it down to somebody else. Help them to know that forgiveness, though it sounds too good to be true, it's theirs for the asking. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll be reflecting on what Solomon had to say about pride and humility on the next Balanced Word. Be listening for that as Pastor Dave Rolfe spotlights the way to smarter living. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.